All right. Hey, well, today we're in week two of our series called God of the Promise. God of the Promise. And I shared with you last week that I want to take us in this series on a journey. And it's a journey that I really believe and I pray will help us to experience the faithfulness of God like never before. To help us experience the faithfulness of God like never before. And we're walking through one of the greatest stories in the Bible of God actually working year after year, decade after decade, to fulfill a huge promise that God gave his people. In fact, we talked about it last week. It was a promise that started generations back to a guy named Abraham. Back in Genesis 12 and beyond, God promised to Abraham, hey, Abraham, and remember, him and Sarah weren't able to have kids. They were too old. Biologically, it was impossible. And yet he said to Abraham, God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And they kind of felt like laughing, right? That's a nice promise, God, but that can't happen, right? It's impossible, right? And God's like, no, I'm going to give you descendants as numerous as the stars, and I'm going to take your future family, the generations after that, and I'm going to form them into a great nation. I want to choose you to bring about my salvation plan in the world. I want to start it through them, and I want to build them into a great nation. I'm going to bless them, and what I want to do is I want to show who I am, to shine a light of who I am through their life so that every nation of the earth will know who I am and will be blessed by your family. And he's like, gosh, that's a great promise, God, but how's that going to happen, right? Here's the other thing. God said, I'm going to also lead you to a land that I'm promising to give you, because back then, if you didn't have land, you didn't have anything, right? And so God said, I'm going to lead you to a land that I'm promising to give you. And it's not just the leftover land, right? I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey, a place that I have prepared for you. But in that moment, and through so many seasons of this promise, the people of God couldn't see how they were going to get there. Like, how are we going to be a great nation? How are we going to shine a light into the world to show the world who you are, God? Like, when we are who we are. And God, how are we going to be given and enter a land when we don't have it yet? And so here's the thing. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever noticed that when you're in the middle of a journey, you can oftentimes be anxious in the moment that you're standing? You can oftentimes be anxious in the moment where you're standing presently because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You don't see how, you don't see why, you don't see how everything's going to go. And I think, how many of you like to watch rerun movies on like Netflix or something? How many of you like to do that? Yeah, reruns of movies. Why do we do that? Like, we watch movies, but we already know what the story is, right? I watch sports movies all the time, you know? I like, you know, A League of Their Own, and I like, you know, we needed, you know, Henry Rowan Gardner to come in for the Braves the other day. You know, the kid back in the, this is like early 90s, who had surgery or broke his arm, and all of a sudden he could throw like 90, 100 miles an hour. We needed that guy back in the movies. But I think oftentimes we like to watch movies on repeat, we watch them again because we know how the story goes. And so when we get to kick up our feet and get our popcorn out, as we're watching movies, as the characters go through struggles, as they go through obstacles, and the thing is, we're not worried when they're going through the obstacles, not because it's not us, but because we already know how the story is going to go. We've already seen the movie, right? We already know what's going to happen, and so we don't have to worry. And so we know how it turns out. The problem is in our lives is that we don't ever get the full script of our life movie and how it's all going to play out. And so we might face a barrier in our life. When we face a barrier or an obstacle or a limitation to what God is calling us to do, or where God is leading us, or in some kind of way with what God wants for us, it's easy to wonder in that moment, does God really have me now? Does God really have this now? I know, God, you were faithful in the past, but will you be faithful now, in this moment, in this season, in this situation? And so today, what I want to do is I want to show you how God provides for his promises in our life, how God is a provider. He provides. See, sometimes God will promise you something or lead you somewhere, and that really goes beyond what you have. And so let me ask you this. What happens when what you need doesn't match your supply? What happens when what you need doesn't match your supply? And I like to call this the resource gap. You know, this is the resource gap, isn't it? It's a gap between what we have and what we need. And we face the resource gap all the times in our life, don't we? We face it, a lot of us are like, yeah, we face it with money, right? We face it when what we have doesn't seem to be enough. We face it with our time. If you're a parent of young kids like me, you know the resource gap with your time, right? There's always so much to do and so many little ones to give your attention to and other things spinning everywhere and yet so little time, the resource gap. Sometimes we face the resource gap with maybe God's called us to something, but maybe there's a gap in our abilities. There's a gap in our experience. Maybe there's a gap when it comes to your energy, you know? We were in Tennessee visiting my grandmother, and I understand the energy gap very well. We got in at 1 o'clock in the morning, coming in on Friday night late, and got up early and coached a football game, and we've been running and running. I understand the energy gap. And so it's moments, the resource gap is moments when you don't seem to have enough. When you don't seem to have enough. And I want to show you, though, when you don't have enough of something, that your scarcity and your limitations are sometimes the greatest opportunity for God to show up and God to come through. Your limitations, your limited resources, the resource gap is oftentimes the best opportunity for God to show off his power and to show his faithfulness in your life. And so the next time we get to a place where we face a barrier or a struggle or a limited resource, instead of saying, I wish it was different, and complaining about it, maybe we need to see it as a huge blessing. God, thank you today that I have a barrier in front of me. Thank you that there's a car parked right in front of me while I'm trying to get past it. You know, you see what I'm saying? You never know. God oftentimes does his best work in the middle of a resource gap. And so here's the thing. Scarcity is what often unlocks some of the best creativity. Scarcity is what sometimes unlocks the best innovation. Some of the best products that we have happen because there was a scarcity of something. But scarcity also is what helps to grow your faith because it draws us to the heart of God. And so let me ask you this question, real personal. You don't have to answer it out loud. Think about it. I want you to think about this. What scarcity or what resource gap might be standing in front of you right now? What scarcity, what resource gap might be standing in front of you right now? Is it friends? Is it money? Is it what is it? I want you to think today as we read our story, I want you to think about your resource gap, where what you need doesn't, when what you have doesn't match what you need. And I want you to hear this story. But first, let me recap where we were last week. Last week, we saw how God's people were facing a huge barrier to living into the promise that God had given all the way back to Abraham. Instead of the people of God being a great nation, like God promised, they were living as slaves in a foreign nation, in Egypt, by the oppressive rule of Pharaoh. And the people were living as slaves in Egypt for 400 years, and they're looking up to God and wondering, God, did you forget about the promise? Like, did you forget about everything that you told us, or was that just figurative language, right? And it's one of those things where there was no sign of progress. Until last week, we zoomed in on Moses, when God speaks to Moses from inside a burning bush, and he says, Moses, you're the guy, you're the plan, let's move forward, I want to free my people from slavery and get them on to what I've promised. And Moses is like, but God, I don't have the speaking ability, but God, I don't have the leadership ability, but God, I don't have, and God showed him that it doesn't matter what resource gap is in your life, if God calls you to it, he'll provide a way. And so we saw last week that the message God essentially gave to Moses is what we just sang. The promise still stands. Moses, I haven't forgotten over 400 years what I promised. The promise still stands. And I believe that maybe some of us are close to stopping short of something God has promised to you. And maybe God wants to speak that message over you that the promise still stands. God will be faithful. And so we saw how God freed his people from slavery in Egypt through Moses' leadership. He parted the Red Sea, and there was a wall of water on the right and a wall of water on the left as they walked out of, and I don't think they just walked. I think they were like dancing, you know, in their newfound freedom. They're walking across the Red Sea, away from the enemies and into, toward the direction where God was calling them to be, toward the Promised Land. And they're finally free. They're on the road to becoming who God wanted them to be. They're on the road, literally, to the Promised Land. But it's one of those things where they're celebrating the Lord in that moment. And they're saying, God, thank you so much, right? They were celebrating God. And they were saying, God, we trust you. We'll trust you no matter what. And all that was good until 3 days later, or a few days later, they faced a resource gap. Here's how the story goes, Exodus chapter 16, starting in verse 2. It says, in the desert, now remember, just a few days have passed. God's just done a whole lot. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. It says, the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Right? You can see this, right? God has just done one of the greatest miracles in their whole lifetime. I mean, generations and generations and generations afterwards look back to that moment where God freed them from slavery, parted the Red Sea. And here they are a few days later, and how ungrateful they've become, right? How they've forgotten the blessings that God put in their path. And they start to look it around at all the things that they don't yet have. Now, I think this is so true about our lives, isn't it? You know, this is so true about our lives. I can see my kids, but I can see me sometimes as well. God provides, like, you know, here God provides, but by bringing us out of something. God provides by freeing us from something. God provides by bringing us into a new season that maybe we've been praying for so long, we've been dreaming about and hoping for. But the problem is, once we finally get there, instead of being so grateful to God and walking forward in that gratitude, so many times we start looking around, wishing we were somewhere else. You know? Sometimes we get to a place where we always wanted to be, but instead of being content with where we are, we start to say, well, God, I wish I was there instead of right here. Or maybe we look back at something that happened in the past and say, well, I wish we were back in this season instead of the season that we're in right now. I mean, that's what was happening for the people of God. They were wishing that they were back in slavery. They were wishing that they were where they were before instead of where God had brought them by his mighty hand. And instead of hoping in God for something better, here they were. They're looking back because what was in the past seemed easy. God, we wish we were there because at least it was predictable, right? We knew where we were getting our meal every day, right? From the mighty Pharaoh's hand, right? And from the guards, right? And so isn't it funny how nostalgia works? You know, nostalgia works like that. It has a way of distorting the past. And maybe putting a little bit of whipped cream on the past to make it taste a little bit better and look a little bit better than it really did. And it's interesting because this is where people talk about the good old days and churches talk about the good old days. Remember how fun it was back then? It's so funny. We started this church from literally nothing. And there's still times when we'll reminisce and we'll say, oh, remember the very beginning stages? And it was great in some ways because it was like, you know, like cavalier, you know, we're trusting God and, you know, with some duct tape and prayer and God's going to do something, right? But I look back at that season and sometimes I have to be reminded that it was hard, right? We were carrying sound equipment down my stairs in my house in order to do a worship service, right? When we were first getting started. So nostalgia has a way of bringing up the good old days. Wish it was like that. And the same was true for the Israelites. They had a memory problem. You know, they had a memory problem. They forgot all the bad things. Like they were in slavery, by the way, that they were told when to work and how hard. Many of them were killed and abused and all sorts of things. But they only remembered the good things. Like we at least had food. But it was a rosier picture. They thought, oh, we had all the food we could ever want. And they, for some reason, they started seeing back, once they were in a new season, they started seeing their slavery as a party. Remember how fun it was at the party when we could just eat anything that we wanted, you know? And so here they are. They wanted to go back because in their minds, if they died in the desert moving forward, they'd never receive the promise anyway. Let's just go back to what's predictable. Now, I have to tell you, I understand they're complaining, and I probably imagine you do too, right? They're complaining because their need is very real. They're in the middle of the desert, and they're hungry, right? You know, when bellies start to rumble, you can get a little bit, cranky and hangry, you know, one of those things. But anyway, there's no sign of food around them. It's dry. It's barren. And here they are saying what we oftentimes say, God, I don't have food. We don't have enough. We don't see any sign of provision around us. We're going to die in the desert. And as they looked at their limited supply, though, food and water weren't really the issue. Yes, they physically were. But really, the problem was that they stopped trusting God to provide for them. They stopped trusting God to provide for them, and they started wanting to only rely on themselves. That's why they turned to Moses and to Aaron, and they start complaining to God because they had trust issues. They had some trust issues. See, when they were in slavery and when they needed to be free, they had to trust God to get them out. But now that the chains have gone, now their chains are gone, now they're like, now we kind of want to depend on us. Like, we're good, God. You did the miracle. Let me walk forward, and we'll call you the next time we need a miracle. Sound familiar, right? This is how we do in our lives. And so here they are, and they're like, this is so silly. Let's just turn back. Now, here's how does God respond when we're ungrateful, when we're whining, when we're complaining, when we're ungrateful for where God has done in our lives? How does God respond to us? Check it out, Exodus 16, verse 4. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. How does God respond? I will rain down bread from heaven for you. It says the Lord, the people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? In other words, hey, we're just the messengers here, right? Like, look at God. If you're unhappy with something, like, point to him. And Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning. Let's stop right there. All the bread you want. This just shows that God is not a stingy God, right? God is not a stingy God. He will give you all the bread you want in the morning because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. So how does God respond when we're ungrateful, when we're complaining, when we're acting like a bunch of babies like they did? How does God respond? Grace. Grace. Like, they didn't deserve it. They're crying and moping around after they had a huge blessing put right in front of them. But God was so compassionate to provide for his promise, to provide for them. And so I think this just shows, here's the first thing we see in this passage. First lesson we learn is this, is that God promises to provide for us even when we don't deserve it. God promises to provide for us even when we don't deserve it. In fact, in the New Testament, there's an interesting scripture that says that the Lord makes the rain, he sends the rain down to rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're a follower of God or not. The rain shows no impartiality, right? God sends the rain, his blessings on every person. He does. And so God promises to open up the heavens and to rain down blessings on them, to provide for them. That's how good God is. He provides for you to show his love to you. Now, I want you to notice, too, that God told them each day to gather as much as they needed just for that day. Gather as much as you need, but just for that day. It's interesting. It's like basically, look, don't gather what you need for the day and grab a little bit extra and put it in your backpack just in case you're worried that I'm not going to show up the next day. Like God was teaching them this trust exercise. That's what he said. I'm teaching you that. I'm showing you what it means to trust me, right? It's a test. This daily provision is a test. I want you to know that oftentimes when there is a scarcity in your life, when there is a resource gap in your life, it is oftentimes an opportunity. It's oftentimes a test. God doesn't always put it there, but God can use it as a test to see where you put your faith and where you put your hope and where you put your trust. Like in the middle of this resource gap, are you going to trust in God to provide for you, or are you going to pull back in fear? Right? This is how it is in our lives. So God was teaching them to trust not in their resources that they had, not in their bank account, not in, you know, their food supply, but to trust in God to be their source. And God said, hey, gather for 6 days. Just gather 6 days. And on the sixth day, I want you to gather double portion so you can rest on the seventh day. That's how good I am. That's how God is, right? And in the same way, as we trust God with our resource gaps each day, God promises to show us his faithfulness. You know, one of my favorite hymns, I've got a lot of favorite hymns, but one of my favorite hymns is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. And there's a line in the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, that when I used to sing it when I was 4 and 5 and 6 years old, I sang it, but I didn't understand its power. The line goes like this, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Right? I sang that when I was a little kid, right? All I have needed, your hand has provided me, God. But that didn't mean a whole lot to me when I was 5 and 6 years old. All of a sudden, the scripture jumped and the words of that song jumped off the page when all of a sudden I needed something to trust God for. When there was a resource gap in my life and I saw that how God had to come through, how God had to show up. See, when God intersects your life with the truth of his promises, when those become real in your life, that's when it sets you forward to realize the faithfulness of God. See, sometimes though, we want God to give us what we need and a little bit extra, right? We give us what we need, but a little bit extra. So we don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't want to have to worry about tomorrow. And so it's interesting, in the New Testament, when Jesus taught us how to pray, the Lord's Prayer says this, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And then he says this, Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day, like give us today our daily bread. Give us today what we need. It's not give us today. It's not give us today and tomorrow what we need so that we know that we're going to be okay the next day, right? No, Jesus said, give us this day, not just bread, but give us what we need today, God. And so basically, God, I want to trust you to provide for me today exactly what I need. And this is what God was teaching his people. Let's check out how it continues, verse 13. It says this. It says, that evening, now check this out. They're in the middle of the desert. There's no sign of life. There's no sign of vegetation. It's a desert. And just imagine it. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. Think about this. Some of the scripture says that God kicked up a wind, right, from the east, and quail starts coming. Just imagine how crazy would that have been. It's a barren desert, and all of a sudden, quail starts flying at them, and they're probably like, not believing their eyes, but all of a sudden the quail came and it covered the camp. That was probably a moment where they were realized, whoa, this God that freed us from slavery in Egypt, whoa, he has the ability to provide even when we can't see a way. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. It says, when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? By the way, they called this thing manna. Manna literally means, what is it? What is it? Right? They didn't know what it was, so they called it, what is it? Right? What is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Give us this day our daily bread. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. This just shows us that God is not stingy, right? Everyone's to gather as much as you need. Like, oftentimes, you know, when you go to like a buffet, don't we all kind of, look at how much is on the buffet line and adjust our portion size accordingly? Like, don't you do that at parties, you know? Like, if there's a whole lot of food, man, you know, you start getting a lot of food. But if there's just a little bit on the line, you get a little bit to be polite to save room for the rest, right? But God is not worried about this. He says, look, everyone is to gather as much as they need. Like, this just shows God is not stingy. He's not worried about where the next thing is going to come from because he owns every resource in heaven and on earth. He says, everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. It says, the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Skipping on verse 31, it says, the people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed, and tasted like wafers made with honey. In other words, it was good. Like, it was good, like Nilla wafers, you know? Those things are good. You sit down, once you pop, you don't stop. It's a different commercial, but you know what I mean. All right, it says this. It says, the Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. For 40 years, God did this every single day. Right, God did this every single day except for on the seventh day, right? Every single day. Just imagine this. Like, remember, there's no food, they're in a desert. There's no animals, and out of nowhere, car, here they come again. Here's the quail again every night and every morning. All they had to do was step out of their tent, and the bread that had come down from heaven for them was laying on the ground for them to eat. And it was like this incredible miracle. Probably for about a week, they were probably so impressed by God for probably about a week, right? Because in their minds, they probably wondered, okay, God, this is the big question that all of us wonder. Will there be enough? Will there be enough? This was a great miracle, God, with the quail coming toward us. That was crazy. And the wafers on the ground. That's awesome. But God, it's been a week, and will there be enough? For the first week, they probably were excited about all this, but in the back of their minds, they probably wondered, God, will this supply chain come to an end? We're in a desert, and one day will we step out of the tent and realize that all of it's gone, that all of it's been eaten? Like, there can't be enough manna and quail in the world for us. Like, God, I'll trust you to provide for me today as long as there's manna and as long as there's quail in the sky. As long as we see the visible evidence of your current blessings and your current resources, we'll trust you. But can I really trust you to provide when I can't see it? Now, here's the thing. This is really the question for all of us too, isn't it? It's really this. Sometimes when God calls us to something or God leads us into something in a certain direction, you don't always have everything visibly in front of you. You don't always see it. In fact, it's easy to let your current resources dictate whether you're going to follow God there or not. We do this a lot. We do this individually, and we do this even as churches and organizations, that oftentimes God calls us to something, and then instead of listening to the word of God, we look at our resources, and we say, well, God wants us to do this. Well, let's see. Do we have the resources? Yes, let's do it. We're going to do it. But oftentimes, if our resources don't match what God calls us to do, we look at our resources and we say, God, it's a little tight. God, I don't have, so we can't, we won't. And here's the thing. I don't think that God wants us to be irresponsible. I don't think God wants us to be irresponsible with our resources. But is it possible that maybe you, maybe I, maybe we have at times said no to God, not followed God somewhere because we don't see the resources in front of us? I think sometimes we let our resources have too much power over us. We let our resources dictate how we respond to God. Let me talk to the husbands in the room. Let me ask you this. Did you have all the money set aside to purchase that really beautiful diamond ring for your spouse? Did you have it all laid aside for ex-spouse that would come around someday when you went on your first date? I didn't. Most of us didn't, right? But what did you do? You took a step and you took her on a date anyway, right? Here's the thing, for students, maybe you can remember, maybe you moved to a new school, and let me ask you, did you already know all the new friends before you walked into that school that day? You didn't, right? You had to take a step, you had to walk forward, and then you saw how God provided. See, if the people of God waited to see manna on the ground and birds in the sky so that they could eat, they would still be back in slavery in Egypt. They would have never walked forward. So here's the thing. Here's the second truth I want to show you about this today. Number two is this. Don't let your limited resources keep you from trusting where God leads you. Don't let your limited resources keep you from trusting where God leads you. Because the thing is, when your limited resources, when you trust God, your limited resources get connected to your God and His unlimited supply. Anything can happen. And so here's the question, do I trust more in my own resources or do I trust in God to be my source? I mean, do I trust in my ability to provide for myself or am I willing to trust God to provide in the middle of whatever desert, whatever scarcity, whatever limited place that I'm in? The truth is God wants to be your source. He wants to be our source. And if God is your source, the good news is that means that everything else is His resource. When God is your source, everything else is His resource. He owns everything under heaven and in the earth and in heaven. And so every resource is at His disposal. And so instead of putting your trust in your resources or in your ability to provide for yourself, God wants you to know that I'm your source. You can trust me day by day to give you exactly what you need. And so here's the thing, if God calls you to something, He's going to make a way. He's going to provide for it. Here's what the Apostle Paul said about that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. He said, "And this same God who takes care of me," by the way, Paul was in prison when he said this, "this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." And so here's the thing, if God never stretched their faith, if God never stretches your faith with an obstacle or a barrier or somewhere beyond your current resources, then we might never truly learn what it means to see the faithfulness of God. We may never see the faithfulness of God. God has to use us and stretch us. And so here's the reality. You have everything you need to do everything God wants you to do. You have everything that you need to do everything God wants you to do. And you may not see it in front of you. You may not know how or why or what or how is this going to all work out. But I want to encourage you to not let your limited resources keep you from trusting where God is leading you. So here's my challenge. Here's my challenge. Will you submit yourself to God? Will you will you trust God to be your source? Will you trust God to provide? Because when God is your source, God will resource you with everything that you need. When you trust God to provide, your limited resource gets connected to God's unlimited supply. God is faithful. God will provide. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this reminder that of your faithfulness in our life. Thank you, God, that you are the owner of everything in heaven and on earth. And so whatever gap, whatever scarcity we might be facing in our relationships, in our finances, in our faith, in our abilities, whatever resources that where there's a resource gap between what we have and what we need. When there's a gap, God, would you help us to be reminded that you're not worried about the gap? That if you called us to something, you're going to provide for us a way. You're going to provide for us on the journey. And so I pray over each and every situation in here today, every resource gap, God, that you would stand in the middle of that resource gap to not just meet the need, but that you would show us your great power, your great love, and your great faithfulness as you stretch us in the middle of those resource gaps to realize that you are our source and everything else is your resource. God, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.